Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Hello, everybody. My name's Mark. What's your name?
Abram.
Perfect, yeah. It's nice to meet you. Nothing. Aw. Some really strange parents to name their child Nothing. Well, hopefully you don't live up to that. Hey, guys, I'm a dad. Yeah. Yeah. I got three little kids. They're back there. One's not little anymore. She keeps reminding me. I'm a husband. In other words, I have a wife. She's back there, too. You can say, hi, wife.
Hi.
Yep, that's her. I like lasagna. Yeah. All right. I also like sports. Yeah, big sports ball fan. All sorts of sports balls and hockey pucks and stuff like that. I have a brother. Anybody in here have a brother? Nice! Me too! My brother lives in Arizona. Where does your brother live?
My brother lives in Arizona!
No way! Are we brothers? Maybe. Your brother's at home? Good. All right. Good. I also have a sister. Yeah! She lives in this magical, wonderful, beautiful place called Ohio. Ohio. Yeah. It's an amazing place. You should go visit. They have trees. They have corn. Yeah. Beans. And did you know that in Ohio, they drink water? And milk, and all sorts of other things. It's a beautiful, magical place. Do they what?
Grapes.
Yes. We aren't proud of that. We aren't proud of that. All right. We have some growth to have. I'm this thing called a pastor as well. Really? Nobody gets excited about that? They're like, lasagna? Yeah! Pastor! All right. That's cool. If I would have been like, truck driver, would you have been like,
yeah!
My uncle's a truck driver, or used to be. He's cool. Yeah. That's cool. All right, well, it is my honor to share with you God's Word this week, so I'm really looking forward to this. I hope you guys learn so much, but it's more than that, right? I don't want you to just learn. I want you to actually know God a little bit more than what you do right now, okay? So if you know God this much, I'm praying and hoping that when we leave, you're going to know God at least that much, but I'm hoping like that much. Does that make sense? You there? All right, which is more than this. It's like friendship in a way. But we're going to learn one very cool aspect about God. But I'm going to start at a different place here, okay? When I was growing up, like I said, I had a brother and a sister, and I made a lot of promises. Do you guys make promises?
Yeah!
Okay, I made some doozies of promises. Can you believe one time I actually promised to clean my room? Jokes on my mom. I didn't do that one. I promised to help with the dishes. That's not funny. That has to happen. Otherwise, what are we going to eat with?
Our hands.
Why didn't we think of that? I never would have had to have done dishes ever. I just would have had to wash my hands. a lot. I promise to eat my vegetables.
Yeah, vegetables!
Amen. Oh, how about this one? I, in fact, one time I promised to stop poking my brother. Can you believe that? Do you think I did that? Yeah, I did. I stopped poking my brother because my dad asked me to, and he was going to pull over the car. Like, he said that. If you don't stop poking your brother, I'm going to pull over the car. No, I stopped. I stopped. I don't know if you would have done it or not. I did. I kept that promise. How do you guys keep your promises? There are some really strange ways to keep promises, right? Like, if you're trying to make, like, keep a secret, sometimes you do this one. Oh. That's a big one, right? If you do this promise, that means you gotta do it, right? Unless you got your fingers crossed, but that one's obvious. Right? No, I'm not crossing my fingers. Yeah, here's another one. Ready? You guys have never done that? That must be. All right, well, hey, you know, promises have changed. What are some of the ways that you guys give promises? Yeah, sure. Cross your. It's not your turn. Oh, that's. If she does this, she promises maybe to knock you out. I promise, if you don't stop doing that, it's on. It's on, right? And there are all sorts of ones. I heard someone over here say, cross my heart in hope to die. Why would you say that? Can you imagine if I would have made that promise about cleaning my room? I wouldn't be here today. All right? We wouldn't be talking. But that's, promises are crazy like that. This is a promise. Here's another type of promise, right? That one? What does that one mean? You don't like that? Not at your age, no. That means I promise to have one wife, right? And I'm going to stay with her forever. That's a promise we made, right? There's all sorts of cool promises. You know what? God gives awesome promises too. Okay? God gives awesome promises too. And he doesn't break them. And that's something we're going to show you today. So if you have your Bible, I want you to go to your Bible and take it out. And I want you to go to this book called Isaiah. I'm going to give you some time to do that. You see, one way we can consider the Bible is a bunch of promises from God. He has promised to do incredible things for people who love him. In fact, he even has given some amazing promises to people who don't love him. He is just so full of promises. And God doesn't have to pinky swear. He doesn't have to spit on his hands. He doesn't have to cross his heart and hope to die. He doesn't have to do any of that stuff. Because whatever he says, he does. All right. So in this big book of Isaiah, I want you to go to this chapter called 9. 9. What a chapter. Do you realize there are some books of the Bible that don't have chapter 9? Like Obadiah. It doesn't even have a chapter 1. It just is. Just is. All right, we're going to look at verses 6 and 7. All right, so here's the context. Listen to this story. All right, so God made this country called Israel, and Israel all of a sudden decided it wanted some kings. And so God said, fine, you have some kings. And some of these kings were really good kings, right? They're like, what a great king! And some of these kings were like, King Bowser, right? Ooh, right? Or maybe some of them were like Queen Ursula. Right? So you had all of these really, really good kings, and then they'd be replaced by really, really bad kings. And these really bad kings would rule the land, and they'd rule it really badly. Right? So you have these people who are in charge,
And nobody likes them because they do really, really bad things all the time. And God's like, stop it. And they're like, no. And God's like, seriously. And they're like, I'm not listening. You know, they do one of those things. Like, I can't hear you. Like, that's what the kings were doing to God. So God got, like, all fed up. Like, he's like, if you guys don't stop, I'm going to pull this car over. But they didn't have cars. So that was really confusing for them. So they didn't do any. That was a joke. Take a second. Yeah, they didn't have cars then. So they didn't understand that joke. It is. Okay, this one's easier. So God decided in that moment, fine. If you guys aren't going to stop being bad kings and queens, then I'm going to be the king. Then I'm going to be the king. All right? So I want you to hear and read this promise along with me. I'm starting in verse 6. It's just two verses, but I want you to hear this kingship through all of these verses. It says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government, a government, right? That's people who lead things. A king, that's a type of government, will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, so full of good advice, perfect advice. Mighty God, strong, right? Everlasting Father. In other words, he's going to reign forever. And then we have a prince, right? That's the king's son, a prince of peace. Man, that's a good king. If a good king can bring peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will never be an end. He will reign on David's throne. In other words, he will be in charge on David's throne, on Israel's throne, and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And then it says, the zeal, in other words, the desire and enthusiasm of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. You see, God made a promise that he was going to send a king who is going to be the greatest king ever. Like better than King LeBron James? Way better than King LeBron James. Seriously. Like God said, enough of these kings who are really bad. I'm going to send a king who is going to be the greatest king that you can ever imagine. He's going to be perfect in every way. In every way. I am going to do this, he says. All right, now jump all the way to John 18, all right? John, now we're in the second half of the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Hey, Mark, my name's Mark. John. What's up? I heard you. All right. Go to John, and we're going to be in chapter 18 of John. Not one John, no. Same person, different book. We just want John, not first John, right? Like zero John, but we don't write the zero. Zero John. All right, John 18. Listen to what it says here, okay? I know some of you are catching up. He says, Jesus said, all right, so who's speaking? Nice, good job, guys. Jesus said, my kingdom. Wait, whose kingdom? Whoa. So Jesus says, my kingdom. Well, who is over a kingdom? A king. Interesting. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. You're a king then? So someone is asking him, you're a king then? And this guy named Pilate, who actually is kind of kingish, Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born..." Whoa. "The reason I was born, didn't Isaiah just said a son is going to be given to you? And the government's going to be on his shoulders?" And Jesus says, "You say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born, I'm the son that God promised some 400 or 500 years ago. I'm the king. I was born and came into the world as to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Jesus is saying in this moment, "Guys, I'm the king. I'm the greatest king. I'm the one that God is going to send to rule perfectly, where you're going to have peace always, where I'm going to make every right decision. I'm going to be the best king ever. In fact, I am the best king ever. There is never going to be a king better than me," he says. "You want me to be your king. You're going to be begging me to be your king, because I'm a great and I'm a loving king," he says. And his desire is to lead us and to save us from all these bad kings. To save us from when we try to be a king. Because when we try to be a king and rule over everything, we usually do a bad job, right? How many of you are kings of your room? Oh, I'm a king of my room, right? How are you at keeping your kingdom clean? Me too, right? The queen is much better at that than the king. All right? Like, we're really bad at those sorts of things. And Jesus is like the greatest king of all time. And he says, "Guys, trust me. Follow me. Let me be your king. Let me be your king." Because he's the greatest king ever, the one that God promised. And so God kept his promise and he sent Jesus. So we can trust God and we can follow Jesus because he's going to lead us to all of those things that were promised by God way back when. He's going to lead us to peace. He's going to lead us into making right relationships with everybody around us so that we aren't constantly poking our brother. Okay, that was just me. You guys never poke anybody. This guy. But you see, this week, what I want us to focus on and what I want you to understand is how great of a king King Jesus is. And I want you to see and understand how great it is to follow him as king. Because he doesn't make us follow him. He invites us to ask to follow him. He doesn't force you to be his friend. He says, "Come on, be my friend. Trust me." All right? So everything that we look at this week is going to be about how Jesus is the greatest king ever and why we can trust him and how we can trust him in everything that we do. All right? Let me pray to that end.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.